Blog Talk Radio.
Israel of the Royal.
All right, we're doing a series called Unlocking Biblical Mysteries of the Bible, part number 104. And what that memo saying? The elder will be a few minutes late. Oh, okay. All right, well, let's see if we get something going on. What we're going to do, we're going to see if we get something going on until the elder ready to let you know who bring this broadcast on. So we're just going to jump in here and get something going on. And the young lion will be a few minutes late. All right. Okay, well, let's see who next on deck then. We'll find out who's on deck then. All right. Let's see what's going on. Right. Let's see who's going to be on stage for part number 104. And we'll run straight around and find on stage. Let's see on stage for tonight's episode 104, Mother D.F. Israel. Tribe Yah God Judah. Yahweh be clean right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer. Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's swing out there around Detroit, Michigan. Let's see where Camp O will be on stage for tonight's lesson part number 104. Detroit, Michigan. Yahweh be to that Sea Royal.
Yahweh bless you. Seer Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I guess we can get something going on. Sounds good to me. So I'll tell you what we do. Mother D up Israel, I want you looking at that microphone real loud and look at that chapter, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we get something going on. But one thing about it, the next one up, let's keep it moving. And Yahweh's word, Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12. Get something going on, Mother D.F. Israel. Come on.
All right. Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
That's right. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you. The righteous spirit will teach you. That's what the righteous spirit do. It teach. So you got to be clear about that every time out. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at something, and we'll add all the dramatic to it. So we just read the way we see it, and we'll tighten it up like it's supposed to be. Mother D of Israel, we're going to look at Torah chapter 10, verse 1 through 8. Detroit, you haven't got your kick-out books with you, do you, Detroit? Huh, Detroit? You got your kick-out books with you, Detroit? What you saying, WCC? What about Detroit? I'm not here in Detroit. See, are we going to mute you? We see you shorthand. We're going to mute Detroit. Ain't that something? All right, Mother D.F. Israel. Let's look at pick up at verse 1. Let's see what we can get out of it. Chapter 10, pick up verse 1 and see what we can get out of this. It's something we're going to get before we test out real good. Chapter 10, pick up verse 1 is read a little bit. Come on.
Sirach chapter 10, verse 1. A wise judge will instruct his people. And
stop
the
right
government.
There. Yeah, stop right there. Stop right there. Right there. Let me get in right there. Now, in this case right there, but, just read the way you say it, that wise judge means the seer. The seer will instruct his people. He'll let the people know exactly what's in front of them. It's up to them to make something happen. So a wise judge will instruct his people. That means a seer, that knowing his position, he must instruct his people, tell them exactly what they need to do according to says Yahweh. All right, that's good enough for today. Let's go to Sirach 37. We're going to 37 there, Mother D up Israel. Sirach 37, and we'll start reading a little bit. So remember one thing, a wise seer, his duties is to instruct his people. That's what he got to do. No way out. 37, pick your verse 23 of Sirach. Come on.
Sirach, chapter 37, verse 23. A wise man instructs his people, and
that's
the fruit.
Right there, right there. A wise seer will instruct his people. He'll let his people know what's in front of them. Now let's go to the third chapter of the book called Ezekiel, pick up verse 1. So a wise seer's job is to instruct his people. He can't be looking at the rainbow correlation. He got to make clear that he instructs his people. That's what a wise seer would do. Let's go to Ezekiel 3:1 and let's read a little bit, see what we can get out of it. 3 verse 1.
Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. Verse 2. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. Verse 3. And he said unto me, son of man, cause your belly to eat, and fill your bowels with this roll that I give you. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Verse 4. And
good.
He said unto
me. Good enough. Verse 3. That's good enough. So we see the seer's job is to eat the roll, and once he gets that information, he has to get straight on to his people. So that's the seer's job. He got to eat the roll first. He's going to get it first. So he got to eat it all up. And what he got to eat, let's see what he got to eat. We can read in Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah and see what he got to eat there, Mother D of Israel. So we clear, he got to get to doing some eating, and he got to eat that roll, find out what he got to eat that we can read. So this is how you find out who's who. So when you eat that roll, let's see what you be eating in Jeremiah 16, or take it 15, 16. Let's talk about it, Mother D of Israel. Let's see what kind of, what's supposed to be eating. The seer supposed to make sure the children of the book do a little eating. Jeremiah 15, 16, bring it.
Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy word were found, and I did eat them. And
Excellent. Right there. So now what the seer got to do is eat them words, then he got to get to his people, get to the people of the book. Matter of fact, what people he got to get to? Let's run you back to Ezekiel chapter 3, if you already are, that's good. Let's see where he got to go now. So once he eat it, once he understand this thing, what he got to do with it. Now Ezekiel got to do the eating. Now once he done some eating, let's see what he got to do in verse number 11, 3:11. What he got to do now that we can read? Mother, be up Israel. What he do in 3:11?
Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 11. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of your people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus says Yahweh, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear.
That's it. So our job is to make sure you understand the message.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the people and tell them, thus says Yahweh. And now, let's 6:13 of Daniel and find out what people that we can read that you got to get to, the seer got to get to, what people that we can read. See what we can read in going in the book of Daniel 6:13. Let's talk about it, Mother D of Israel, 6:13 of Daniel.
Daniel chapter 6, verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Yagda, regardeth not thee, O king.
Hold that point there, Mother D. F. Israel. I kind of jumped a little too fast. Make that verse 11. Let's get the number one hit. That verse 13 will be, you know, add on to the wound. But what we're trying to get to is verse number 11. What do 11 say that we can read?
Daniel chapter 6, verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making...
Hold on, Mother. Be listening real carefully. I'm be breaking in on you all day long. So now look at 3:11 real carefully. Ezekiel 3:11.
Yeah,
3:11. All right. No. 6:13. You right? 6:13. No, we already read 3:11 already, didn't we? Yeah, we read 3:11 already. All right, now we're going to 6:13.
Yeah. 6:13.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I just read.
Daniel chapter
6, verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Yagda,
right there. So now we found out that the seer had to get to the children of the captivity, and the captivity was Judah. So after he had the information to tell them, and that's where he had to go to. So he had to go. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel. Now he heading to him in 1 Samuel. Let's see what he got to do now. Now we want to paint the picture there, Mother D of Israel. So we're going somewhere. Spirit led of Yahweh, we don't know where we're going, but we'll get there. We're going to the 16th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. So we find out right now that the seer got the message. So now he got to get to his people. So now where is his first stop at that he must get to with his people? Where he supposed to go first that we can read? Let's look at 16 verse 4. 1 Samuel 16 verse 4. Let's see where he got to go first at.
1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4. And Samuel did that which Yahweh spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peacefully? Verse 5. And he said, Peacefully I am come to the sacrifice unto Yahweh. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he...
Right there. So there it is right there. So once the message get to the field, he must find where the elders at and then tell the elders exactly what got to be done and then get to the people. That's the protocol of Yahweh. Let's go to Matthew 35. Make it 9:35 through 38. We're going to Matthew chapter 9 and pick up verse 35. See what we can read there, Mother P of Israel. Matthew 9, pick up verse 35.
Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Yahweh the Son went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their temple and preaching the gospel, kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 35, 6.
Yep. Stay down at 38. Stay on down. Keep going.
Verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. 38. Pray you, therefore, Yahweh of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest.
So you see, I see, right? So now the seer's job was to get to them and tell them what time it is, get the elders together. And like we're saying right now, we have to not sit on our hands and peep at this thing, that we need to do the land school and banquet hall. And so when you want of something, we're supposed to put an urgency about it. And that's why the, you know, next week the young lions gonna get out in the get out there in the field and start cleaning the field out. We start planting a little beans starting next week. So our job is to tell you on what got to be done. And you know, once it's clear that we have to set a trend for ourselves. Land school, banquet hall, and we'll get out there in the yard and start cleaning it up and start planting a little meat down. Because we have to get prepared, because we got to stop reacting to everything. So next week we will see the young lions out there, you know, in the garden, getting prepared, and you know, and those fear gonna be right there with them. Because one thing about it, that's why we gotta watch our health. So it's very important to understand something about your health. If you know, understand it, our people are suffering from a lot of problems in the body, especially diabetes. Now, clearly, how do you control diabetes? Like we told you earlier, you these things that you don't do to activate diabetes. You don't put no sugar with nothing. Sugar, starch, and smoking will have diabetes just jumping all around in your body. Sugar, smoking, and starch eating. That when these three chemicals is put in your body, it'll activate that diabetes to just jump all around, have you patting your feet and doing all these kind of things. So the key to that, if you want to control your diabetes, for your diabetes to disappear from your body, you have to leave food alone. You got to leave sugar alone. You got to leave smoking alone. You got to exercise to always shake your body up, but you got to exercise in a way that, remember that verse that we read, I forgot the verse that Mother D of Israel. We read a verse over there in Titus. You know, it got past me right now, but like I said again, I'm shooting this on the run. But it was a verse that's showing you that you got to exercise your mind in Yahweh. I mean, you gotta come clean with Yahweh, and Yahweh will come clean to you. Matter of fact, what he says in 16:12 of Wisdom of Solomon. Let's see if we stall for a minute. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon 16, verse 12. See what we can read that, Mother D. F. Israel.
Okay. Yeah,
verse 12. See what we can get, what we can read in 16, verse 12.
Okay. Wisdom of 16, verse 12, reads, for it was neither herbs nor mortifying plaster that restored them to health, but your word, O Yahweh, which healeth all things.
You see that? So what heals you is the word. So the key to it is that controlling ailments in your body, you must understand one thing. You got to say word up in Yahweh. Let's go to, let's go and get a case in point. Let's run to the book of Job 32, verse 6. Say down to verse 14. See, it's the word that heals you. And you got to understand something. Who causes your problem from the get-go? We're going to the book of Job, chapter 32, verse 6, down to verse 14. You know, if any name that you have a problem with, just pronounce the first letter and keep it moving. You're going to clock, come out.
Job, chapter 32, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6. And Elihu, the son of the bee answered and said, I am young and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you my opinion. Verse 7. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Verse 9. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Verse 10. Therefore I said, hearken to me. I also will show my opinion. Verse 11. Behold, I wait for your word. I gave ear to your reason. Wrestle you while you search out what to say. Verse 12. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words.
Go ahead.
13. Lest you should say, we have found out wisdom. Yahweh thirsts him down, not man.
You see that? So that's not a question. That's a flat-out statement. Yahweh is the one that will thrust you down, not man. So when you find yourself disembobulated, it's because of one thing about it. Yahweh is trying to get your attention. You know, when you got a calling on you, you got to put this man first. And when you start having these ailments on your body, that's because Yahweh have put these things on you because you have forsook what was told to you in the beginning. Exactly your position or what you're supposed to be doing on your position. Matter of fact, Latter-day Saints said we'll take the block off of Detroit because you own something. We want to hear more. Oh, okay. Good thing we'll take the block off Detroit then. Let's see. You want to hear more, Latter-day Saints? All righty. Detroit, Michigan, Camp 4, Yahweh Bishop City, right? Detroit, Michigan, Camp 4, Yahweh Beach, I see right. Well, it's, you know, Latter-day Saints, you're getting just like the WCC. I don't know when you come and clean. I think y'all in such a cahoots click. All right, Mother DF Israel, let's keep it moving. Now, what was the last statement I made before the Latter-day Saints broke in on me? What was the last thing I just said?
About Job 32, verse 13.
Yeah,
you
okay.
It ain't a question. It's a statement.
Okay. But what we want to do, we want to take a look at some things because, see, we tell you now that we have to come alive and understand one thing, that so we got a job to do, and let's see what we got to do. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. My dear Israel, we got a job we got to do, and let's see what it is that we can read. We go on to Acts 20, verse 32. Let's see what we got to do.
Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to Yahweh and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
Uh-huh. So what we got to do, Mother, we got to build them up. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
We have to build them up, Mother. That's what we're saying. So leadership got to step up, and we got to build them up. So we got to look at where they stand at, and what we got to do, building them up. You know, because one thing about it, everybody's playing the role that they was given to play, and we got to play the role that we was given to play, and we got to build them up. But how you build them up is from to understand their position in the word. And what we're going to build you up in is your understanding your position in the word. Now, let's look at what it says in 43, verse 21 of Isaiah. Let's see what it says, why we got to build them up there, Mother. Let's see why we have to build them up. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. Mother, D up Israel, come on.
Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise.
You see, so these people were formed. He formed these people for himself. It's the people that he formed for himself. And that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
So if you leave it just like that, anybody can claim that they've been formed for himself. And see, this is where the game changer come in at. Okay, we clear that he have formed a people for himself. And that's why it's so important to know who you are, because he says that he looked down at the 18 nations and he formed a people for himself. Now, what we got to do is identify the people that he formed for himself by going to the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, and we're going to see, can we get a name on the peoples that he formed for himself? Let's go to Exodus chapter 19, 1 down to verse 8. Find out what the responsibility of these peoples that he formed for himself and what is their name. Let's see what he called the peoples that he formed for himself, because we know that verse is pulled. So we go on to the 19th chapter, pick up verse 1 down to verse 8 of Exodus. Let's see if we tie it all in, Mother D.F. Israel. You back on the clock. Come on.
Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. Verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel was gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Verse 2, for they were departed from Rehob and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. Verses 3. And Moses went up unto Yahweh, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Israel. Okay. and tell the children of Israel, verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wing and brought you unto myself. Verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be peculiar treasure unto me above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a righteous nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their face all these words which Yahweh commanded him. Verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people.
Uh-huh. So now Moses brought it back to the people. Moses brought it back to the people. And the people that he brought this word back to in 19 verse 1, read, let's see exactly, but we kind of drill something in on this identity thing by lining up this book. So now we're going to drill in exactly who these people Moses brought this word back in to by looking red again in 19 verse 1. And once we find out who these peoples is, we can go down a little bit more. So who these peoples is that Moses drilled this to in 19 verse 1? What their name? Bring it. 19:1.
Exodus chapter 19 verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone.
That's all we want. What we try to do is drill in the name. We try to drill in the name. Third month, when the children of Israel. So what we try to do is drill in the name, not the subject matter, just the name. So we're going down further, and we're going to look at the last line in verse number 3. Let's see who is Moses bringing his message to. The last line in verse 3, or the last two lines. Pick your stick. The last two lines or one line. Go and get a name. Come on.
And Exodus 19, verse 3, the last line. And tell the children of Israel.
Excellent. So you see, the Almighty said, Moses, this message to be a kingdom of priests, you go tell it to the children of Israel. That was the Almighty say. Now, what do you say in the last line of verse 6?
Verse 6. Unto the children of Israel.
Unto the children of Israel. So this message that was told was drilled in to Moses. He said, Moses, this message, I know it's 18 nations, Moses. But the message that I got to give you, you take it to the children of Israel. So that's the message that we have to be clear of the seer and the elders to the fathers, to the mothers. That's who they are. They are the children of Israel. And that's the game changer. And if we're able to pull that off without fumbling around, when you see the word Israel, always bring in the children of Israel, because that's the message that was told to Moses by the four-letter man, the children of Israel. That was told to them, and that's a great thing. Now, let's go to the 28th chapter. We're going to Exodus 28. And we'll look at verse 10 and 21. Exodus 28 verse 10 and 21. Mother dear, bitch.
Exodus 28.
Verse 10, 21.
Exodus 28, verses 10 and 21. Verse 10. Six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. Verse 21, and the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their name, like the engraving of a signal, everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes.
Oh, so the children of Israel got a duty. They called the children of Israel or the 12 tribes. So they got the identity. He extended our identity by Moses to them, their identity. See, and that's what's been drilled in our little ones that came between our feet, is their identity. You can go through all through grammar school, high school, college, and you've been never told your biblical identity. And that's where we ought to come in at. The people have to be drilled their identity. And once they find out their identity, then they'd be able to read the Bible and say, oh, Mom, Father, this is talking about us right here. Why? Because you took time to drill their identity in them. They are, according to Yahuwah, the children of Israel. You go speak to the children of Israel, Moses. That's the game changer right there. And once you understand the children of Israel got responsibility, then they'll see things more as the nation, not as an individual. And it will be no problem for them to, whenever the children of Israel is on something, they'll get ready and with it because they know who they are. And that's the game changer right there. Let's go to the 29th chapter, look at verse 45 and 46. Exodus 29, verse 45 and 46. Let's see what that says.
Exodus chapter 29, verse 45 and 46. Verse 45, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their Yahuwah. Verse 46, and they shall know that I am Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am Yahuwah, their Yahuwah.
Now listen to that, Mother. Now, suppose we've been raised up with that understanding that Yahuwah says, I'm gonna be locked, hook, line, and sinker with the children of Israel. If they obey me, I will be hook, line, and sinker with the children of Israel. That is the key. So you want to get Yahuwah back in, but you got to say the right thing. The children of Israel, whatever there, if it's anything based upon Israel, after Jacob, name was changed of Israel, everything else is called the children of Israel. Let's go to the 39th chapter. Let's precept that to Joel, J-O-E-L, verse 2, and we'll pick it up at verse 27. Let's see what we can get out. Let's go to the book of Job, and with Joel, make it Joel chapter 2, verse 27, and we'll read out it to get out point. Let's see what's going on that we can read. Joel chapter 2, verse 27, Let's see what we can read that mother D up Israel.
Okay. Joel chapter 2, verse 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed.
You read?
28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. Verse.
Okay, hold that point. So who is he talking to in verse 27? Read 27. So he said, your young men's going to see dreams and all this good stuff going to happen. So who is he talking to? Who is Joel is getting the message? Who is this letter addressed to that all these good things going to happen to in verse number 27?
Verse 27, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed.
I hate that stuff. You mean all that's in the Bible? Yes, Eroy. So then a reminder came in the 11th chapter of Acts. Then a reminder came down, Mother D. of Israel, in the 11th chapter of Acts. Here come, now make it the second chapter. All right? Mm-hmm. Then here's a reminder in Acts chapter 2. Let's see what's going on now. Remember, leadership got to step up to the plate and tell the people who they are, the children of Israel. So whenever you see the word called house, family, or whatever, it's always talking about the children of Israel. Very important. And we found the children of Israel is 12 tribes. So all of the information is supposed to be taught to our offspring that the children of Israel is 12 tribes. That's what the children of Israel is, 12 tribes. So whenever the 12 tribes, whenever the children of Israel get into anything as a family unit, the 12 tribes supposed to get ready into it because that's a family member of the children of Israel. See, that would need to be instilled in our people. You understand that when you're a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, the children of Israel. That means by being children of Israel, you will respond to anything pertaining to the children. Click on Acts chapter 2 and look at verse number 11. Let's see what we got. Let's see what we can read in 11. Let's read a couple of verses, then we'll skip down to verse 17. With the understanding we got right now, we're gonna pick up at 2:11, Mother D up Israel. Let's read a little bit pertaining to the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. Now he's on the clock. Let's see what his message got going on in 2:11. Let's read a little bit of Acts. Come on.
Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Crete and Arabian, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of Yahweh.
Well, see, these was, since we did read that verse, since that on the table. So now hold that point right there. Go to James chapter 1:1. And he said creeps, Arabians, and all that good stuff. So let's see what you really talking about. Let's paint that picture, and we come right back by going to James 1:1.
Okay. James chapter 1, verses 1. James, a servant of Yahweh, Father, and of Yahweh the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting.
Mm-hmm. So there. So now Peter addressing the 12 tribes that is scattered abroad. That what Peter's doing. He's addressing the 12 tribes that is scattered abroad. Now come back to 2 verse 5 and see what was the 12 tribes called in 2 verse 5 of the book of Acts. See, a rose is a rose. I don't care if it's a big rose or a little rose. Now Peter is the chief speaker for the nation of Israel. Now he can make up a foul statement pertaining to the 12 tribes. Let's see what he says in 2 verse 5 of Acts. What did Peter say to them, dear brother?
Acts chapter 2 verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devoted men of out of every nation under heaven.
So there was devout. There was devout men. That means they had to understand. There was devout men, and they was dwelling at Jews. They was dwelling that's Judah. They was came for that feast day. Then there was about man that came out of every nation upon the sun that they were scattered at. They came. Now they got a machine right now. They probably go on the internet and look. They got a machine now. You know, I made a note of it a long time ago. They got a machine now. Maybe those that computer whiz can go on the computer and pull it up. It's a box they got right now that you can talk in that box, your language. And you ain't got to go take no more classes in school or nothing about speaking any other language. They have a box out right now. That, matter of fact, I was looking at my notes about it, and it came before me. I saw them. So I put it to the side. But it got a box right now that all you got to do is speak your tongue into that box, and you program it to speak to whatever the person says language is, German, and all you got to do is speak in that box. And whatever you say is in your language, English, come out in their tongue, and you ain't got to ask nobody. All you want to ask them one thing, what language you speak. And whatever language is in the box now, I think that I got the name written down, that, and that's how what's called slow technology is. And this was happened 2,000 years ago when Yahweh sent them fiery tongues down and sit up on each one of them. And when Peter was speaking one language, everybody understood his language. But he was speaking only one language. But everybody understood the language he was speaking, see? So now they just now caught up with this greatest piece of manuscript called his Bible, where now they got a box out right now. You speak into that box, your language, English, and guess what? It'll come out in whatever tongue they in, and then they'll be able to say, oh, they can communicate with you if they got that box. So you ain't got to go, but this happened all the way back on the Feast of Weeks, which you call Pentecost. So now, now come on. To the next verse. Come back down to when you read 11. When you read 11, read the next verse 12. Now Peter get ready to address the Israelites that was out of every nation, for they knew to come back to the feast days three times a year. You bring your families back to the feast days, so that was a feast day. So they came all over the world to that feast. So here they are, one language. And people want to know, well, how did everybody understand? The same way they got this box. You go on your computer, you know, your computer whiz, and look up the box they got right now. In that box right now, you can speak English in that box. Your tongue in that box. And in that box, it'll... My buddy got computers like that, too. So, and once you speak, whatever tongue they're in, they're hearing their tongue. You hold that box to their ear, and they say, oh, okay, I understand what you're saying. So that's how they're speaking English now to you through a box. And they got computers like that now. But this was, it was 2,000 years ago when Yahweh showed his hand to the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. Now come on back down to verse 12. I think you read 11.
I read 12. 11.
Okay, now read. All right, what's 12 say?
Acts chapter 2, verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?
Go ahead. Fail down to 17. Fail down to 18. Come on, fail down to 18.
Verse 13. Others marking, saying, these men are full of new wine. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Yagda, and all you that dwellest at Yagda, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. Verse 15. What else, 14? Yeah, verse 15. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Verses 16. But this is that which was spoken by the seer Joel. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the key word in there? He said he's going to pour out this on his servants. See that? See, there go your game changer right there, Mother Dear of Israel. Now, this thing will be poured out on his servants, the daughters, the young men of his servants. So the key word there was his servants. Now let's go to our 25:55 and find out who's the servant. See, this is how you take care of the business. He's going to pour out his spirit that the young man's going to prophesy, but he's going to pour it out on his servants. So now, who can we read is his servant? See, you go to the 25th chapter, verse 55 of Leviticus, and find out who he's talking about. Who he's talking about, we can read that, come out.
Okay. Leviticus chapter
25,
55,
what did it say?
Leviticus chapter 25, verse 55. Leviticus 25:55 reads, for unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Ain't that tough? So you see how you do that, Mother Dear of Israel? So the one he called servants, the one he going to pour out the spirit on, that the young men, the young, going to do all this prophesizing, is going to be on his servants. So now we his servants, what is their name that we can read, Mother Dear of Israel, in verse 55? What is their name that Yahweh gave them?
Leviticus chapter 25, verse 55. For unto me, the children of Israel are servants.
Stop right there. So, Mother Dear of Israel, one more again. Who is Yahweh's servant that he's going to pour the spirit out on?
The children of Israel.
Excellent. See, that's the message that we got to take to our people. That he, in the last days, he gonna pour out his spirit. We in the last days, he pouring out his spirit, but again, who he gonna pour it out on? Let's back up to us. Come on in, then we're gonna bring that young lion in and give you a chance to stretch a little bit, and we'll come right back. Let's go to the 41st chapter of Isaiah and pick up at 8 through 10. So this information got to be known soundly. And once we able to understand, like we talked about earlier, about when the Spirit is pulled on you and you know you're children of Israel, that means you don't get anywhere you fit in at, because you know you have an obligation by being a member of the children of Israel with the 12 tribes. So if you see any of the 12 tribes doing something, you're supposed to automatically get ready in with it once you know who your identity is. You know, like we said earlier in the lesson, you know, next week we're going to get into the garden. We're going to clean the garden out and start planting a little stuff down. A wise seer will instruct his people. It's time for us to do something for ourselves. We got to get in the garden. Old seer going to be there. That's why I say it's important to understand about your health. You got to be, your health got to be right. But you got to get away from them things that cause these problems in your body, which is what we read in last night's lesson at the Sabbath class, showing you that stress and bad company can have you force all type of injury on your body, you know, and then starch eating, that is a lover for diabetes. Diabetes love a starch eating person. Ooh-wee. Sugar, diabetes, love sugar, Pepsi Cola, don't call no company name out. All right. Well, pop drinking, sugar, and smoking. The problem in your body. And Mother read earlier in 1612 out of the Wisdom of Solomon, the only way that you can get this down is make sure you line up with some Yahuwah, because Yahuwah's servant is going to tell you what you're eating, what you're doing. Is you doing your Yahuwah? Dragging your feet on Yahuwah? Well, hey, drag your feet on Yahuwah. That caused you the problem. Anytime you recognize that your brother is a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, and whatever your brother's doing, you're supposed to get in where you fit in it automatically once you know you're a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, the children of Israel. All right, Mother, what you read, Mother? What we got on the table?
You said Isaiah, I don't know if it's 41 or 43.
Yes, ma'am.
Huh?
Isaiah 41. Yeah, Isaiah 41, pick it up at verse number 8 through 10. 41,
okay.
8 through 10. You know what I said?
Okay. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 to 10, verse 8 read.
Mm-hmm.
But thou, Israel, are my servant, Israel whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof unto thee. Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away.
Mm-hmm.
Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your Yahuwah. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mother, who he telling that to?
His servants, the children of Israel.
Excellent, Mother D.F. Israel. Excellent. That's what he's telling this message to. his servants, the children of Israel. 44 verse 1 of Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 44, verse 1. Yea, now hear, O Israel, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen.
So who he chosen was children of Israel. So who supposed to always understand one thing? In time, the children of Israel is on something, all 12 tribes supposed to get in where you fit in at. Once you understand that they have divided us in labels, different names and everything else, they got, this chart with the roll call, but all he's talking about is the children of Israel. That's the game changer there, mother of Israel, so we're gonna go back to the stage and see if we can find that young lion and bring him in, because I hear him roaring in the background, so you meet the young lion with a loud voice, you say, Brother Micaiah Israel, up and come and teach you how to count one. Yahweh be to that scene, Roy.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Excellent. So one thing we do know, the fox tail have been lit and the curtain have went up. And one thing about it, we know we got to get in where we fit in, and that's a great thing. So we find out right now that the young men's and the young women's going to one day prophesy. But what do that mean that we can read when the young man going to see vision and they can prophesy? What do that mean, that young lion? We can read. Go to End Time Prophecy and find out what do the word mean. But let's come out of Numbers chapter 11 first. Brother Kyle, let's find out exactly what that means by one day that young men or the children of Israel going to prophesy and see dreams and do all this stuff. They're going to prophesy, and how is they going to do that we can read? Let's go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, 17, 25, down to verse 27 and 30. Let's see if we learn what that means if somebody dropped that verse on you. That is not talking about all nations. When you go down and read that, what Peter says, when Peter says, I was quoting Joel. And Joel saying that, quoting coming out of Numbers chapter 11, 16, 17, 25 through 27, and verse 30. What did it say? Come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 16, 17, 25 through 27, and verse 30. Book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 16 reads, And Yahweh said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the temple of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. Verse 17, And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and will put it upon them, and they should bear the burden of the people with you, and you bear it not thyself alone. Verse 25, And Yahweh came down in the cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not see. Verse 26, But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the temple, and they prophesied in the camp. Verse 27, And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad, do prophesy in the camp. Verse 30, And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel.
So they were prophesying in the camp. But we're going to make sure that we understand that the prophesying, it was for the sons and the daughters that was based upon the children of Israel in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that was quoted out of Joel, and they was prophesying. But they found out exactly what they was doing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, and kick up to verse 37. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, and kick up to verse 37. Young Lion, you're back on the clock. Come on.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 39, kicking it back up to verse 37. The book of Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 39 reads, wherefore, brother, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongue. Verse 37, if any man think himself to be a seer or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahuwah.
All right, 38.
But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 39.
That's it. You read 39 already. So you see what he's saying now. Now, prophesizing. And now if you call yourself spiritual and you prophesize, he said cover prophecy. So he tell you, now, if you want to be ignorant, you be ignorant by yourself. So when the Spirit was pulled on the young men and the young women and they all prophesied, so what were they doing? What were they doing? Some gibberish? What were they doing? But if you want to be ignorant and be taught by the other nation, what do this mean? But if you want to learn truth, you must learn it from the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelite. Now, what prophesying, what they doing, that they were doing, is that any man want to be spiritual. So what that mean by being spiritual that we can read over here in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. What is spiritual? See, what is spiritual that we can read? See, this is how you hear the best dog make the speech. And then you got to go in the Bible. That's if you are man or woman of Yahuwah, you got the best dog buck the gums. But if you're going to be spiritual, but if you want to be ignorant, you be ignorant by yourself. But if you spiritual now and you prophesizing, that means the Bible must tell exactly what you're doing. Let's see what he said you're doing in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. What you doing?
The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, for we know that the Torah instructions is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
Oh, so the spiritual is the Torah instruction. So now if you prophesizing, that means you must know what the world says is done away with is the first five books of Torah instruction. So if you spiritual, that means that you have addressed something that you can read in the Torah instruction called the first five books. Now you see what you learn on the way of learning something. That's how you being spiritual. Now if you prophesizing, that means you spiritual, and spiritual means you know the law. And the law is the first five books. That's how you prophesy. But if you walk in and you catch the First Corinthians going on there, young lion, so do you better know what's going on? Because you might walk in and you might run into something, and then you'll know that this has been taught to you by the other nation. So we just found out how you prophesize. Prophesize, that means you spiritual. That means you know the law. And the law is the first five books. Here it is. So now, let's run to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 21. See, you always can learn something on the way of learning something. And that's why we read in the early part of the lesson, a wise seer would teach it, instruct his peoples. A wise seer will instruct his people to make sure you're not part of being up on the foolishness. And the wisest seer that we know of that we can read was told in Genesis chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. Let's find out about the wise and seer that we can read about, Brother Micaiah. Let's find who the wise and seer that we can read about in the book called Genesis, chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. Let's find who the wise and seer that we can read.
The book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 18 and verse 19. Verse 18 reads, seeing that Abraham says, surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahuwah to do justice and judgment, that Yahuwah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him.
Mm-hmm. Now back and read verse 17.
Verse 17, and Yahuwah said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?
Does he say, should I hide from Abraham things that I shall do? Because he already knew that Abraham is going to make sure he make a calling according to the law. And the reason why, because Abraham has something going for him, that young lion. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, verse 6, Abraham has something going for him that we can read. What he had that we can read in the 15th chapter, verse 6.
The book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and he believed in Yahuwah, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Mm-hmm. So he believed in Yahuwah. There go your game changer right there, see, right here. So now, Paul and Peter addressed the whole nation of southern kingdom and those that was drifted among the northern kingdom. And he pulled that verse in Acts 14:14. He pulled that verse. Now, Paul and the chief speaker of nation of Israel, Peter, pulled that verse in 14:14, people should not be a shaky jake. So he pulled what we just got to read in 15, verse number 6. Let's see what it says, and we can read in 14:14, the book of Acts. What can we read there, young lion? You on the clock, come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 14. Verse 14 reads, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out.
Well, hold on a minute there, young man, that I kind of jumped too fast. Make it 15:15. Make it 15:15, that young man. Thanks for catching that error for me. 15:15.
Go back. 15. The book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 15. 15 reads, and to this agree the words of the seer as it is written.
Yeah. So he's telling you right there and there. You know, I don't know what to believe. I don't know. What did Abraham believe? He believed and Yahuwah accounted righteousness because he believed what Yahuwah had said. So now Peter and Paul pulled that verse, and he told that southern kingdom what you to believe. Because right now, we know we're up on the Roman rule. But now they kind of need a strength pitch up on them. And they won't know what to believe. They got on the microphone and told them, this what you believe. You believe the seers as it is written. And that's a game changer right there. And once you know who you are, and a wise seer will instruct his people on what to believe. Once you know you're a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, if you see Israel, believing Israel doing anything, you both immediately join in without looking to your left and not looking to your right. Like we said in the early part of the lesson, the young lions is already on step 4 to get out in the garden and start pulling the stones back and planting a little something that to come. See, we know we need to go for ourselves. Land, school, and banquet hall. Next week, we'll get out there in the yard and start pulling back and plant a little something. And O.C. are going to be there. That's why we keep telling you about your health. You got to get your health together. And you got to get your health together, but you got to get your mind spiritually ready for your health. And that diabetes problem that you're having, all these problems you're having, because first of all, you got to be more inclined with Yahweh. You know, understanding his word and knowing you're a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. If you see any of the 12 tribes of Israel doing anything, you're supposed to immediately stop what you're doing and get off into it. That will be taken away from you. And, you know, and the seer is going to lead by example. You'll be right there in the midst of getting the garden prepared for time to come. Because we always are people that always like to react. Never take the lead, because the leadership, and you always be looking around to see, what should I do? No, when you hear from the seer, follow instruction, make your move. Because when he tells you something to come by the mouth of leadership that's above the seer, and he passed down to the elder, it's time for the children of Israel to start putting something down in the ground for self. Not waiting on the economy, because they got, once you understand, they got Bill Gates. If once you look up the information where Bill Gates are dead, he have now purchased all type of open lots just for you not to get it to grow nothing on. You go look up Bill Gates, he just with all them billions he got, you know, he started doing to activate, you know, the scarce tactics on you. He just buying up all the lots that he can get his hand on, all the land. Now, why are you buying all that land for? To grow food? No. I'm buying it for nobody not to grow food on it. See that? And that going to take you to always run to them. And that's why the seer telling you right now, land, school, and banquet hall. It's time to, if you know you're a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, roll your sleeves up. Get in where you fit in at. Donate to this ministry. Because Bill Gates is doing one thing big time right now. You go on your computer and pull him up and see what he's doing. He just buying land just to be buying it. Why? He ain't fit to grow nothing. He want to activate you not getting nothing on you to, like I say, remove the population of you, because you waiting on them and they're going to destroy you if you don't take heed to what you're hearing out of Tape number 104. It's time to put some down in the ground for yourself. The power to be is buying up all the land. Not to grow nothing. Not to grow nothing on it. That's to keep you from putting a bean in there so you won't grow nothing. You got in your mind. It's up to you now. Now, so now, what we at now? What the last day we said that our young lion, what was the last day we was on?
This guy done reading Acts 15:15.
Right. Tell you what to believe. So now, so to prophesy, now we got to find out, did we read that, we read Numbers already. Now we're going to find out how you, now where you get, now the prophesizing is for the children of Israel. Now we're going to end time prophecy and find out what you prophesize on. We just found out you prophesize on the first five books. That's, so you will see what you need to see in the first five books. Now we're going to get a case in point in Revelation chapter 10. And we'll repeat with verse 10 and 11. And let's see if you going to prophesy his word, which is the 1, 2, and 3. Spiritual, you understand his word. Let's see where you get this word from that we can read in Revelation chapter 10, 10, and 11. Listen to this right here. Listen to this on the run on how you prophesize. Come on.
The book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 reads, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." Verse 11. "And he said unto me, you must prophesy again before my peoples and nations and tongues and kings."
But you may prophesy, but the only way you can prophesy is, well, you got to prophesy out of what in verse 10? So how do you prophesy again in verse 10?
The book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand."
Excellent. That's how you prophesy. That's what y'all men going to see dreams and visions. By getting into the book, or the first five books, get into that Bible and find out what is your duty to do. That's how you prophesy. You don't prophesy this when you're getting ready to read. Let's go now, go back now, go to 1 Corinthians 14 and pick it back at verse 21. See, now this is what we've been brought up to understand prophesizing means. But I'm telling you exactly what's really going on by going to the 14th chapter, verse 21. So this is what we see today, and that's why I say the six anointed camps got to come. Anytime you prophesy don't mean you mumbling in somebody's ear. That means you reading some book, showing them what time of the signs you in. Your young men and your daughters, your sons going to prophesy by taking the book and understand what's written in the book with understanding. That's what he mean by, but he read over there in 1438, but if you want to be ignorant, you be ignorant by yourself. You take prophesizing means somebody in your ear moaning and groaning in your ear. You don't understand what they're saying, and nobody else understands what they're saying. Let's see what he got written on there in 14, and we'll pick it up at verse number 21. And read down a little bit. Come on.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. Pick it up at verse 21. You said 21, right?
Yes, sir. Pick it up at verse 21.
All right. 21 reads, "And the law, it is written, with man of another tongue, other lips, with men, will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith Yahweh." Verse 22. "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Verse 23. If
therefore, hold that point. Believe what? Believe what? What are you supposed to believe? What are you supposed to believe? Genesis 15, verse 6. Mother D.F. Israel, read that. Mother D.F. Israel, read Genesis 15, verse 6. What are you supposed to believe? Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Let's see what you're supposed to believe, Mother D.F. Israel. What are you supposed to believe that we can read in Genesis 15, verse 6? Mother D.F. Israel, come out.
Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. "And he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it unto him for righteousness."
Mm-hmm. And what did he believe in 111, verse 10 of the book of Psalms, there, Mother dear Israel? Let's read 111, verse 10. So here's the point. That's why the six anointed camps got to raise their level up to understand the Bible. Your young men and your young girls or whatever they say, they're going to see bids and all that. But what they're going to be doing, they're going to be painting that picture in their mind by hearing the first five books of Torah instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody more grown in your ear talking about you prophesizing anything. And this only for children of Israel, is not for the other nations. reprove that soundly in the early part of the lesson. But you read that mother dear of Israel, 111 verse 10 of Psalms, come on.
Psalms 111 verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instruction. His praises endures forever.
So there go your good understanding. So that's what they were doing. So they were doing it prophesizing by reading the Torah instruction, first five books. Come on back here online. Give me some more.
Okay. Going back to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, picking it up at 23. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 23 reads, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Verse 24.
Stop it there. So the whole church is talking about the children of Israel. He said, now when the children of Israel come in a place or a body or a place and somebody that's online come in and they come and get you running all around, bumping into each other, falling all into each other, and somebody over there rattling off stuff in your ear, you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand nothing going on, but somebody got you down here up in the corner mumbling in your ear, and then the preacher come run down and said, run down from his pulpit, rocks, and say, I understand what they're saying. You are alive from the pits of hell. That is a ministry from Satan the devil. That ain't how it works. That's how we've been programming that it works. And when somebody come in and want to learn something, he's running and gets the tamarines jumping all around the place. People's running around, falling all down, and Mama Julie come running in and throwing sheets all over you because now you got the kicking spirit in you and you know you got the sharp dress on anyway. So now they got to run and grab sheets and throw it all on you because the big diggers, some guys they see, they trying to see how much kicking you going to do. So they throwing sheets all over you and now the people walk in that want to hear something, they going to say, these people's in here mad. Keep reading.
Okay, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, picking up at verse 24 reads, but if all the prophets, and there come in one that believe not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judge of all.
Stop it there. You said one come in what kind of way? Read that again.
Okay, verse 24, all prophets. And there come in one that believe it not, or one unlearned.
So if one come in unlearned, so if he walk in unlearned, and the way you conduct, if you prophesizing, if one come in unlearned, but how you prophesize, mother, 10 verse 10 in the book of Revelation, how do you prophesize again? Let's see how you prophesize with one line right across the top. If they come into your establishment, and you in there prophesizing, what are you doing that we can read in Revelation 10, verse 10?
Revelation chapter 10, verse 10. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand.
Excellent. Prophesizing in the book. They read what the Torah instruction is saying. Now, the person unlearned, and they walk into your establishment, and you got the Bible open up. Come on, young lion. What happened next?
Okay. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, picking it back up at verse 25 reads, and thus are the secrets of his mind made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship Yahweh and report that Yahweh is in you of a truth.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Right there. So you see what you do? So now somebody unlearned and they come into your establishment, you got the Bible open, y'all prophesizing out of the Bible like Satan was doing in Numbers chapter 11, Adad and Medad was doing And the young man sat and ran and told Moses what they were doing. Moses said, that's a great thing. Look, you look here. That's a great thing what they're doing. He in that book, that's a great thing. So now he understood that thing. Because one thing about Brother Hoshea, he had a spirit on him. He had a spirit on him that, you know, he wasn't a person that was looking around to his left and to his right. And we got to get a case in point on that. Because he ran and told Moses, because he seen something that was not right. So he got to Moses to tell Moses some good stuff. Now, I want to go to the 17th chapter there, young man. I want to find out something about this young man called Brother Hoshea. I need to find out something about him, what kind of spirit he has on him that we can read. Let's go to, Exodus. Let me see if I find. He had a spirit on him. And I want to find out something that we can read. And like I said again, you know, when you can read the spirit, then you know what to look for according to the pages of the book. Some kind of spirit that the brother had on him that we can read. We're going to the 17th chapter of Exodus there. Young line. And let's see what was he working with. And we'll pick it up at see what Moses said in 17, verse number 9 and 10. Go to Exodus chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. Let's see what we can find out about this. About this brother called Hoshea that told Moses that the two men was in there searching them books real good, and he went and told Moses about it. Let's see what's going on that we can read in the 17th chapter, verse number 9 and 10. What is saying we can read? Come on.
Okay. The book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 reads, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Yahweh in my hand." Verse 10, "So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and her went up to the top of the hill."
You see that? Now see, there goes your game changer. But there goes your game changer right there. That's just a game changer. That's when you know you own something. When we understand the order of Yahweh. Now Moses had he fought the young man Hoshea. He's a Hoshea, look here. Go get the brothers together and go and get busy on it and put some on them, and that was the end of it. See, but now we got why we doing this and why we doing that. That's why I said we don't know who we are. And once we find out who we are and the responsibility of what we're supposed to be doing, then Yahweh is going to show the next hand. But we got brothers and sisters now don't understand who they are and their responsibility. When one of the members of the 12 tribes of Israel is doing something, that was written in Numbers chapter 1 and 11, they know one thing. Everybody's supposed to get in when you know you're a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. Like we said, next week, we're going to get in the garden, start cleaning it out, put some beams down, put some stuff down, get it prepared. A wise seer will instruct his people. The wise seer will get to the elders and tell them what we got to be done. Because, like I said again, you go on your computer and you pull up Bill Gates. Bill Gates is trying to prophesy for himself. He's trying to create the famine that you're dealing with right now to come by just buying up all of the good land that grow good food at to have it where it's saying, do not enter sign on it. And he ain't going to do nothing with it, but he's gonna cause this to happen for you, and you will be sitting there holding your thumb because you didn't take heed what the seer said. It's time now, land, school, and banquet hall. It's time to roll your sleeves up now, get in where you've been in at, and let's get the locks together. Let's get everything cleaned out and put some greens down. Put some beans down. It's time to get busy And if you know where you are, when you hear the call go out, you make your move. And see, that's what he said right here to Brother O'Shea. Go get the brothers and get busy on Amalek, Esau and his five sons. He did not say one word. He went on and got busy. See, and that's the game changer, and that's when Yahweh is going to kick in. Because you know, you want to know what to believe? We told you what to believe. You believe what Mother getting ready to read in 15, verse 15. What you read out of Acts 15, 15, Mother D.F. Israel, what are you supposed to believe? I don't know what to believe. I don't know what's going on. You know why you know what to believe? Because you don't want to stay in your Bible. Your Bible have leadership. And leadership is telling you what to believe that you can read in 15. What can we read?
Acts chapter 15, verse 15. And to this agree the words of the seers, as it is written.
Hear what you believe. Now run to 2 Ezra chapter 10, that mother dear of Israel, and look at verse 31 to 33. We go on and look at 2 Ezra 10, 31 to 33. Let's get a little bit more.
2 Ezra chapter 10.
Verse 31 down to verse 33. And Brother Makati had me 1 Maccabees chapter 2. Verse 42, 53, down to verse 69. What you read, Mother D of Israel? 2 Ezra 10, 31 down to verse 33. Come on.
2 Ezra chapter 10, verse 31 to 33. Verse 31. What ally thee, and why art thou so disquiet, and why is thine understanding troubled, and the thought of thy mind, verse 32, and I said, because thou hast forsaken me, and yet I did according to your words, and I went into the field, and lo, I have seen and yet see that I am not able to express. 33. And he said unto me, stand up manifold, and I will advise you.
He's a stand up. Stop all that moaning, groaning, man of Yahweh. Stand up. Manfully. Stand up manfully. That's what he's telling. Stand up manfully. Go to the 14th chapter, pick it 13 to 15. Let's go
second
to
Ezra.
Yeah, 2 Ezra. Particularly verse 13 out of verse 15. He says, stand up manfully. See, leadership has to make a decision. That's why I'm peeping for the leadership. They're going to stand up. What kind of way you might be up, Israel?
Manfully.
Don't be looking around to you. I step up manfully and let's get the job done. Not got to have no meetings. Stand up manfully. Let's get the job done in Yahweh.
Yeah.
And this is what you got to do to get the job done in 2 Ezra 14, verse 13 through 15. What you got to do that we can read?
2 Ezra chapter 14, verses 13 to 15, verse 13. Now therefore sit thine house in order and reprove your people. Comfort such of them as be in trouble, and now renounce corruption. Verse 14. Let go from the mortal thoughts. Cast away the burden of man. Put off now the weak nature. Verse 15. And set aside the thoughts that are most heavy unto thee, and hasten thee to flee from these times.
What you read in verse 14 again?
2 Ezra 14:14. Let go from thee mortal thoughts. Cast away the burden of man. Put off now the weak nature.
Put off what kind of nature?
Weak nature.
Ain't that something? You didn't even the Bible telling you that. See, the Bible is telling you what you got to do. See, we so looking around and Yahweh is making his move. The last messenger on his clock is the bosses of the two Israelites, six anointed camps. We're telling you what you got to do. But you want to look all around, left and right, and won't stand up manfully, won't put off that weak nature, and let's get busy. Huh? That's what we got to do. Got to get busy.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get busy, you're going to see what's going to happen if you don't get busy. But he told you in Ezekiel 3, you're not going to read, if you warn them and they don't do right, blood is on them.
Yeah,
it's on their own head. So we tell you up, time to get busy, land school, banquet hall. It's time now to clean out the yard, lay some beans down, get something going on, roll your sleeves up, you 12 tribes of Israel. Not, I got mine, you take care of yours here, you take care of yours. No, that don't work like that. That's the weak nature of man. It's all about one thing. Coming together for Yahweh to intervene, you children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to get a case in point by looking at First Maccabees. I tell you what, let me get warmed up on Mother Israel. Give me 2 Ezra 8:36. I need to get warmed up first while I turn the young lion loose. 2 Ezra 8:36 says what?
Okay. 2 Ezra 8:36 reads, "For in this, O Yahweh, your righteousness and your goodness shall be declared. If thou be merciful unto them which have not the confidence of good works."
this is the greatest piece of literature in. Okay, give me, man got the confidence. Go to Proverbs 29:19-20. Tell me out there, mother see up Israel. I don't got to have to begin. Proverbs 29:18.
Okay. Proverbs 29.
Proverbs 29:18. Mm-hmm.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, the Torah instruction, happy is he.
Is that? See, you got no vision if you're not keeping the law. First five books. It ain't no vision for you. You sitting there watching that one eye saying you ain't going to figure out nothing. You're going to be disembobulated everywhere. Give me Proverbs 23:7.
Proverbs 23:7.
Yes, ma'am.
Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his mind, so is he. Eat and drink, said he to thee, but his mind is not with thee.
You see that? Your mind ain't right. So when you got to be thinking about what got, listen, you got rules and regulations according to the Bible, when you understand what's going on, just do it. Kept in place. Get your mind right by getting in order and some dust says Yahweh. Now, the children of Southern Kingdom, they was, you know, they had a problem with Esau and it breathed them down on them big time. So now, just like right now, they breathing down on you big time to our children of Israel, to our tribe, but you don't know it. So they was breathing down on them back in the foundation of some good breathing. And let's see what we can read. Young line in 1 Maccabees 2, particularly verse 42. Then we'll skip down to verse 48, down to verse 69. Make it 48 to 69. let's get a little meal out of the young lion. First Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 42 and 48 to 69. You on the clock, come on.
The book of First Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 42, and picking it back up at verse 48 down to 69. Verse 42 reads, "Then came there unto him a company of Hasidians, who were mighty men of Israel, even all such as were voluntarily devoted unto the Torah instruction." Verse 48. "So they recovered the Torah instruction out of the hand of the Gentiles and out of the hand of the king. Neither suffered they the sinner to triumph." Verse 49. "Now when the time drew near that Matthias should die, he said unto his son, Now hath pride and reproof gotten strength in the time of destruction and the wrath of indignation." Verse 50. "Now therefore, my son."
Hold that part. That's Matthias. That's Matthias. He's the father of these young men that he has watched. He's the father to these young men that he has watched them grow up, Matthias. So he's the father to them, and he was on the clock. So he had about five boys, and now he getting ready to do a little talking. Now he got to pump them up because he knows one thing. He done ran his course in grand style. So let's watch his speech. Let's see what do he got a woe is me speech. Although you can be crowded on every side, you know, let's see, do leadership supposed to have a point the finger or a always get caught up in their feelings. They get caught up in their feelings and start pointing fingers, and you never get the job done. Make excuses about being a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. You do your thing, I do mine. You see, that's a recipe for a fallen success. If you know you're 12 tribes of Israel, you got to get busy by knowing that, and you got to have, hold that point, I got to pull a rabbit out of here behind that. Mother D.F. Israel, what you got to have that we can read in the book of Hosea, polluted for Joshua 23, verse 6. Let's see. Yeah, that sounds pretty good, Brother Phil. Why don't you just back up because you own something? So why don't you put 23, verse 6 in on what you're speaking on because you're doing all right. What can we read in the book of Hosea, polluted for Joshua, all the way around? 23, verse 6 says what?
The book of Joshua, chapter 23, verse 6. "Be you therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses."
You see what he told him? Be courageous. Be courageous. See, this is what we're trying to tell you. We're telling you now. Because we know the Athenians, they own their way. But he's telling you, six anointed camps, step up to the plate. Get in where you've been in at. Huh? Be courageous on what you're doing. Huh? Because Yahweh gonna intervene once he can recognize you being courageous. That's what he's saying. That means you are Action Jackson. You, like we say, you go on your piece of computer, your computer whiz, and pull up what Bill Gates doing. With all them billionaires and billionaires. They buy up all the fertile land they can get his hand on. Not to go jack on it. He only to cut you from putting anything on it. Because when they start that famine on you to remove the population, and if you fall and get caught up, that's on you. Like a wise old man once said, if you fool one time, accept that. But if you mess around and get fooled again, that make you a deep fool. See, you can be fooled, but you don't want to be a the fool. And that's when the same thing happened to you again. If it can continue to keep happening to you, you continue trying to watch that one eye Satan, or you're going to roll your sleeves up and get land school and banquet hall ready to go, because everybody doing what they're supposed to do. A wise seer will instruct his people, the children of Israel. And school, banquet hall. Let's lay something down in the ground. Let's put a banquet hall. Let's put a school together and teach the children of Israel that Yahweh is going to intervene. Now, it's up to you. Not that you ain't been warned. The land's before you. It's right there. The young lion said, look here. I'm going to dive on it next week. Old Seal said, guess what? Old Seal said, I'll get in ready, Mr. D. Mr. D, too. You got to get your help together. All these body problems you're having because you're not putting your Yahweh first, and you're in relationships where you only come together 3 minutes in the sack, and man, one of you is a one of you might be Luke chapter 1:5-6. What did it say there, Mother dear Israel? What can we read? Luke chapter 1:5-6. What did it say?
Luke chapter 1:5-6 reads, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the court of Abiah, I think that's it, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 6, and they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the commandments and or ordinance of Yahweh blameless.
They were both righteous. What that mean? 119:142. What do you mean by they were both righteous? What were both of them doing that we can read? 119:142, Mother D of Israel. What can we read that they were doing?
Psalms
142 is all I need.
Oh, Psalms 119:142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah instruction is the truth.
By the way, you remember when you was reading Mother B of Israel about in 2 Ezra 10:31-33? He said, stand up manfully. See, and what do you mean by stand up manfully? Go back to Proverbs 28:1-2. How do you stand up manfully? Proverbs 28:1-2. So how do you stand up manfully? Is it stand up manfully, or man of Yahweh, and go tell people what I'm saying? So how do you do so? Proverbs 28:1-2.
Proverbs 28:1-2. The wicked flees when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Verse 2. For the transgression of a land, many are the prince thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged.
You see that? So a seer with understanding that get to the elders and tell them what time it is, you can prolong your time, or Yahweh going to intervene. See, that's what he's saying. So, but you got to stand up manfully. And stand up manfully, you got to be a Proverbs 30:30. Mother D of Israel, what do Proverbs 30:30 say that we can read?
Proverbs 30:30. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any.
Ain't that so? So to set up manfully, you got to be ready. And if you know that you're a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, you got to respond. You got to respond, 12 tribes of Israel. Give me 2 Ezra 15, 1 down to verse 4, we get back to the young line. I know the elder, he on a speaking engagement, but he must be really telling them something, because to tell you about this broadcast, one thing about it, our elder, you know, he's getting calls all over the known part of the city, and they want to hear him talk. All right. And that's a good thing. And he's talking about one thing, the word of Yahweh. So we can hold on to our seal, get here, maybe get here tomorrow. But we'll hold on to our seal, get ready to let you know we bring this broadcast, which is going to go like the six anointed camps. Be back on tomorrow at 6 p.m. What it says we can read in 2 Ezra 15, 1 down to verse 4.
2 Ezra chapter 15, 1 to 4. Read.
Yeah, what is
Behold, speak thou in the ears of my people the words of prophecy which I will put in your mouth, says Yahweh. Verse 2. Cause them to be written in paper, for they are faithful and true. Verse 3. Fear not the imagination against thee. Let not the
incredulity, something like that. That's close enough.
Them trouble thee that speak against thee.
Okay. All right, back up again and read me. He said, put it on what? He said, put it on something. He said, prophecy.
Put it on paper. Verse 2.
Oh, okay, hold that point. So prophecy is on paper. Prophecy is on paper. Prophesizing is not nobody in your ear speaking gibberish to you. Prophesizing, that means you reading something from the paper. Now, that's precept and what paper are you reading from that we can read? See, the Bible tells everything. You just got to have the right spirit to get to it. Let's find out what he's talking about in 30 verse 8 of Isaiah. Let's find out where this paper at. What is paper at that we can read?
Isaiah 30.
Verse 8.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever.
So this paper he's talking about is in a what?
In a book.
What
on the tablet.
Yeah. What book is that? 34:16 of Isaiah. What book is that, Mother? Dear Bishop. What book is that?
Isaiah 34:16.
What book is that?
Isaiah chapter 34:16. Seek you out of the book of Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate for my mouth.
Go ahead. My mouth what?
For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them.
Mm-hmm. And what I got coming if I do that in 1 verse 3 of Revelation?
Revelation chapter 1. I didn't hear the verse.
Verse 3.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Ain't that so? You mean when you paint the picture, it tells the story? Yes, Eroy. When you paint the picture, it tells the story. What you got to do? That's why you got to recognize the sign of time. Come on back here online when Matthias started looking at this young man and knew his time was coming to an end. But he already was clear about his time. He know he'd be back. He said, I'll be back too. But right now, I know what I got to do. Let's come back and see what Matthias talking about to his young men. Come on back there, young lion. You on the clock. Come on.
Okay, the book of First Maccabees. From at chapter 2, picking up at verse 50. Verse 50 reads, now therefore, my son, be you zealous for the law, and give your lives for the covenant of your father. Verse 51, call to remember what acts our fathers did in their time. So shall you receive great honor and an everlasting name. Verse 52, was not Abraham found faithful in temptation, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness? Verse 53, Joseph, in the time of his distress, kept the commandment and was made Yahweh of Egypt. Verse 54, Phinehas, our father, in being zealous and fervent, obtained the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Verse 55, Hoshea, feeling the word, was made a judge in Israel. Verse 56, Caleb, for bearing witness before the congregation, received the heritage of the land. Verse 57, David, for being merciful, possessed the throne of an everlasting kingdom. Verse 58, Elias, for being zealous and fervent, for the law was taken up into heaven. Verse 59, Ananias, Azarias, and Meshach, by believing, was saved out of the flame. Verse 60, Daniel, for his innocency, was delivered from the mouth of lions. Verse 61, and thus consider you throughout all ages, that none that put their trust in him shall be overcome. Verse 62, fear not then the words of a simple man, for his glory shall be dumb and worms. Verse 63, today he shall be lifted up, and tomorrow he shall not be found, because he is returned into his dust, and his thought is come to nothing. Verse 64, Wherefore you, my son, be valiant, and show yourselves man in the behalf of the law. For by shall you obtain glory. 65, and behold, I know that your brother Simon is a man of counsel. Give ear unto him always. He shall be a father unto you. Verse 66, as for Judas Maccabeus, he hath been mighty and strong, even from his youth up. Let him be your captain and fight the battle of the people. Verse 67, take also unto you all those that observe the law, and avenge you the wrong of your people. Verse 68, recompense fully the heathen, and take heed to the commandments of the law. Verse 69, so he blessed them.
Yes, he raised. So you see, and that's what we're trying to tell you. See, all this good stuff right here, you're back against the wall. You up on a false leadership. You know, you're watching that one eye say, you're making every move, and they're causing all kind of problems on you because you won't follow the lead tribe. The lead tribe is telling you This is the way back. This is the way. Let me pull it out. Let's go to Brother McKay. Let me see. Pull that out. He's telling you some things that you need to know. And we come on up airways humble, spirit led from Yahuwah on what we got to get done. And the 30th chapter, Isaiah 30, and we'll pick up verse 20 and 21 there, Brother Micaiah. Let's see what we can read in Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. What can we read, Brother Micaiah?
Okay. You said you want the book of Isaiah chapter 30?
Yes, sir.
Okay, verse 28 down to 31.
How about 20 and 21? How about Isaiah 20 and 21? How about that, young lion?
Okay, got it. The book of Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 and 21. Verse 20 reads, "And though Yahuwah give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teacher be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers." Verse 21, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left."
He said you're going to have anointed leadership out of the six anointed camps going to tell you, this is the way. Walk that in and keep the Torah instruction. Put them fringes on. Get off into that land and let's get some down in the ground. Let's get the stones out the way and get some down in the ground. Let's contribute to land, school, and banquet hall. Let's get something going on. Because Yahuwah made it plain in Haggai 1:14, and he made it plain what he wanted to be done. He told Haggai, are you the man I don't really know, Haggai? He said, yeah. He said, I want to talk about a land, school, and banquet hall to come. So you put it in the book, and then all we're going to pick it up is the six anointed camps of bosses of the two Israelites. Let's see what they got written for Yahuwah to kick in 1 through 14 pertaining to land, school, and banquet hall. What can we read, young lion, Brother Micaiah, 1 through 14, the book of Haggai, come on.
Okay. Going to the book of Haggai. Right now, the book of Haggai. Book of Haggai.
The book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Before you read that, Mug D.F. Israel, let's find out exactly in Exodus 3, 9, and 10, who is he talking to about when Haggai had it going on? Who is he talking to, Mother D.F. Israel, in Exodus chapter 3? Verse 9 and 10. Tell me out there, Mother D.F. Israel. Who is that Yahuwah telling Haggai to get to that we can read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 9 and 10? Come on.
Okay. Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Verses 9. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them." Verse 10, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt."
Uh-huh. Get down to 7, verse 3.
Chapter 7?
Yeah, verse 3. 7:3, what did it say?
Okay. All right. Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. "And I will harden Pharaoh's mind, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Verse 4.
Verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my army and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgment.
What kind of judgment?
A great judgment.
That's all we got to do. If we do Yahweh's will, and we get ready to read this will right now about Brother Micaiah and Haggai 1 down to verse 14. So his will. All we got to do, if you want to know what to do today, just read Yahweh's will and Haggai. We're going to find what his will. You want Yahweh to return back and do some great judgment? Then why don't you do his will, children of Israel? Haggai chapter 1:1-14. What did it say there? You're on the line. You on. Come on.
The book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1-14. Verse 1 read, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of Yahweh by Haggai the seer unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, verse 2, thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that Yahweh's house should be built. Verse 3, then came the word of Yahweh by Haggai the seer, saying, verse 4, is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed house, in this house lightweight? Verse 5. Now therefore,
hold up on that cedar. That's cedars. And he's talking about building that land school and back it up. So he's saying, listen, is it time for you to always look at yourself, children of Israel? It's time now that the world is looking at one thing. It's eliminating you, children of Israel. That's why we say you go to your computer now, you put up Bill Gates and see what that billionaire doing. That billionaire going around buying all the lands he, not to grow nothing on it, but to break away from the peoples that have exploded now, even with understanding. And right now, they'll tell you in a minute, go back to where you came from. But you got to be able to tell them, isn't it? You need to go back where you came from, Mount Seir. See? You need to go back where you came from. You didn't come from America. You came to America and took over. You didn't come from the Hittite land, which called Europe. You took over that land. You from Mount Seir. See, we know who you is. You need to go back where you came from. Right? But they'll put that on you. You need to go back where you came from, Africa. No, we know what we are. We are children of Israel. We know where we from, and we know who over there in our land now. And we know how you got there, and you didn't get there by being righteous. I said like that. Matter of fact, let's see how you got there anyway. And let's find out, Mother of Israel. Let's read a verse real quick. Let's run to 21, verse 24. Let's see what you did in Luke. And let's find out exactly who you are according to the Bible. Luke 21:24, bring it, Mother of Israel.
Luke chapter 21, verses 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem, Yahdajulun, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And he says that Jerusalem, polluted for J, Judah, Jabdon and Semetic. He said, they're going to be over there in the land. They're going to be trodding the land down. Mm-hmm. But what is the name that we can read that's going to be in the land of your land, children of Israel? What did he told Zechariah to write about you? And Astar, it means Tel Aviv in Israel. That's what Astar means by going to 9, verse 6. But what did Yahweh call the ones in the land right now that say they're you? But he already had the seer put it in writing in 9:36. Exactly what you, who you is over there in the land of the children of Israel right now. Then we told Zechariah to write. No one going to read it. It's the six anointed camps, the bosses of the two Israelites. Who are you in the land of Israel right now? What do the Yahweh told the seer to say who you is that we can read?
Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 6. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines.
And that's the Arabs over there, too. He said, but a bastard going to be in your land. He's a children of Israel. You know who's going to be in your land? A bastard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's over in your land according to the Bible. Who in the land of the children of Israel is a bastard people, according to what we read in 9, verse 6. And now, what's the definition of a bastard that we can read, Mother Dear of Israel? Let's find what the definition of a bastard that we can read. If that was in your land now, a children of Israel. Once you know you're a children of Israel, and what's in your land now is a bastard, then let's find out what the definition of a bastard is. Because, you know, we just told things one way, but then we get in the Bible and we find out, well, you know, what's been told us is one way. And then the Bible says another way. Let's see what a bastard is that we can read. We go on to the 12th chapter, Mother D of Israel, and we want to know a definition of a bastard that we can read. See, that's the key to it. If anything you want to know, find what a bastard means you can read. Let's see what a definition of a bastard that we can read in our verse number. We'll get right down to it. Verse 8. What definition of a bastard?
Okay. 12,
verse 8.
A what?
Hebrews.
We go and get the definition of a bastard in 12, verse 8, Mother D.F. Israel. What is the definition of a bastard that you can read? And from Micaiah, let's find out what he's talking about in 50, verse 16, out of verse 22 or something behind it.
Say it again.
Bastard. What does it say? Come on, Mother.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8. But if you be without chastisement thereof, all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons.
Oh, so a bastard is that you would not stand chastising, you would not stand correction, and that would make you a bastard, because he gave the lots where he wanted everybody to be at when he come back. He gave everybody the land. He told you to be out of your land, and you want to go in and by hook or crook, pay the price. As a matter of fact, what price you gonna pay, Moses of Israel anyway? What price you gonna pay in the 13th chapter, verse 10 of Revelation? What's the price that you paying by being in somebody else's land, especially in the children of Israel land? What can we read the price that you gonna pay that we can read in 13, verse 10 of Revelation?
Revelation chapter 13, verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the covenant of the saints.
Yeah, this is the patience of the saints. And the saints, again, is the children of Israel. So the children of Israel got to have patience, but you got to organize now. See, Roy, you got to organize now. Come on back, Brother McCoy. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Give me that Psalm chapter 50. Let's find out what these bastard people's biggest problem is that he told David right in 700 B.C. He said something about these bastard peoples that David wrote in advance, you know, to tell children of Israel that a bastard people are going to take over your land and say they're you. He said, and they would never stand correction. Then he says in 50 verse 16 down to verse 22 of Psalms, then we get back to Haggai, talk about that land, school, and banquet hall. Come out.
Okay. The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 15 down to 22. 15 reads, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Verse 16, but unto the wicked, Yahuwah said, what hast you to do to declare my statutes, or that you should take my covenant in your mouth? Verse 17, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. Verse 18, when you saw a thief, then you consented with him and has been partaker with adultery. Verse 19, you gave your mouth to evil and your tongue framed deceit. Verse 20, you sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. Verse 21, these things had you done, and I kept silent. You thought it that I was altogether such a one as yourself, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. Verse 22, now consider this, you that forget Yahuwah, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver.
Jesus, so Yahuwah, him always done the tall bitches talking. So all we got to do is understand one thing. We have sinned against our mighty ones. Now he's telling you what to do to reconcile yourself back to him. What he wants you to do pertaining to the land, school, and banquet hall. You're back to Haggai. And this is what he's talking about. Land, school, and banquet hall, you children of Israel. Get in where you fit in at. Roll your sleeves up and let's get something going on before it's too late, before the hammer falls on you. You need to have your own. You had your own once before. Why are you waiting until they react to the action? Won't you be an action and get into the land and let's get something going on, land, school, and make it all before the hammer is dropped on you? And like I said again, go on your computer, pull up Bill Gates. See what he's doing with every land he can get his hand on. And then once he get so much of it, then the other billionaire is going to jump up in there and they're going to get the rest of it. They're going to have you where it ain't no land of Babel and they ain't going to do nothing with it but watch you starve to death. Because if you go even look at the truck drivers, the ships, they got them hemmed up to not let them come in. They don't let so many come in anyway to get warmed up. They got ships coming in right now all overseas and they're holding them up out there in the shores in the big lake, holding the big ships up. Cutting away truck drivers. Truck drivers can't get move around. Raise the gas up three times or what? And you still don't see nothing. And you still trying to find out, well, master going to pull us out. See, that's the spirit you got. You ain't got a Bible spirit. Spirit is you got to go for yourself, and he tell you what you got to do. Red Hill and Haggai. Now, come on, let's talk about that land, school, and banquet hall again and clean the... And let's see what Yahuwah say behind that. And Haggai, come on.
The book of Haggai, chapter 1, picking it back up at verse 5 down to 14. Verse 5 reads, now therefore, thus says Yahuwah of hosts, consider your way. Verse 6, you have sworn much, and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Verse 7. Thus says Yahuwah of hosts, consider your way. Verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says Yahuwah. Verse 9. You look for much. And lo, it came to little, And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Says Yahweh. Because of my house that is way. And you run every man unto his own house. Verse 10. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Verse 11. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hand. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of Yahuwah. There, Yahuwah, and the words of Haggai, the seer, as Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, had sent him, and the people did fear before Yahuwah. Verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the seer, the Yahuwah messenger, in Yahuwah's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says Yahuwah. Verse 14. And Yahuwah stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the temple of Yahuwah's host, there, Yahuwah.
Read verse 13 again. Who is Haggai again? Let's see what Haggai to see here in verse 13.
The book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 13. 13 read. Then spake Haggai, Yahuwah's messenger, and Yahuwah's message unto the people, saying,
ain't that something? You mean Haggai the seer is Yahuwah's messenger? Yes, Sirah. Yes, Sirah. The seer is Yahuwah's messenger. He tell you what to believe. Huh? Let's run to 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 4, 5, 9 through 12, 15 to 16. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 4, 5. 9 through 12, 15, 16. You're online. You're back on. Come on.
Okay, going to 2 Kings. We're going to chapter 12. We'll pick it up at verse 4, 5, verse 9 through 12, and verse 15 and verse 16. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 12, verse 4 reads, and Joab said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is bought into the temple of Yahuwah, even the money of everyone that passes the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's mind to bring into the temple of Yahuwah. Verse 5. Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the temple, wheresoever any breaches shall be found. Verse 9, Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the temple of Yahuwah. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was bought into the temple of Yahuwah. Verse 10, and it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the priest came up, and they put up in bags, and told the money that was found in the temple of Yahuwah. Verse 11, and they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the temple of Yahuwah. And they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the temple of Yahuwah. Verse 12, into masons and hewers of stone, and to buy timber and hew stone to repair the breaches of the temple of Yahuwah, and for all that was laid out for the temple to repair it. Verse 15, Moreover, they reckon not with the man, into whose hand they deliver the money to be restored on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Verse 16, the trespass money and sin money was not brought into the temple of Yahweh. It was the priest.
What do you mean by that? So if you find yourself in the mirror, you've done some backbiting, you automatically got a sin offering you got to bring to those you sin against with your mouth. So that how many times have you sinned, how you blank the old fear? That's how many times you owe a trespass offering. Know what he's saying? Anytime you blankety blank against anointed leadership, you're supposed to hit that box. Know what he's saying? Let's go to 2 Kings 22, 4 through 9, 19, 18 through 20. So when somebody backbite against the leadership, you suppose, okay, well, I'm getting ready to backbite. Well, go and hit that box over there. I guess you start hitting that box long enough, you stop by that backbite. So anytime somebody backbite, then you got to stand over your head until you hit that box. Then it's right there. 2 Kings 22, 4 through 9, 18 through 20. And Mother D of Israel have me of 2 Enoch 45, 1 down to verse 3 waiting on me. Enoch, 2 Enoch 45, 1 down to verse 3, Mother D of Israel. Back to the young lion, 2 Kings 22, 4 down to verse 9, 18 through 20, what it say?
Okay, the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 22, verses 4 through 9, 18 through 20. Book of 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse 4, read, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the temple of Yahweh, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Verse 5. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the temple of Yahweh. And let them give it to the elders, to the doers of the work which is in the temple of Yahweh, to repair the breaches of the temple. Verse 6. Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hew stone to repair the temple. Verse 7. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hands, because they dealt faithfully. Verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the Torah instruction in the temple of Yahweh. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Verse 9, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the temple and have delivered it into the hands of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the temple of Yahweh. Verse 18, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of Yahweh, thus shall you say to him, thus says Yahweh of Israel, and touching the words which you have heard. Verse 19, because your mind was tender, and you have humbled yourself before Yahweh, when you heard what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent your clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard you, said Yahweh. Verse 20. Behold, therefore, I will gather you into your fathers, and you shall be gathered into your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again.
Ain't that so? You mean they say they found a book? So they had to have no round table meeting. All they done was mess around, stumble upon the Bible. And they looked in the Bible to see what the Bible said. Matter of fact, they found that Bible. What did the Bible say in the way, young lion? 35th chapter, and see what that Bible was saying. And they found the Bible, and what was written in that Bible, and the 35th chapter, verse 1, 2 of Exodus 1, 2, then 4, and 5. What was written in that Bible in 1, 2, 4, and 5? 4, 5, and verse 10. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 10, and 20. What can we read that Bible had in it? That's all they did was found the Bible, and they was prophesying by reading the Bible. So in 35, 1, 2, 4, 5, 10, 20, and 29. Let's see what we got. 1, 2, 4, 5, 10, 20, and 29. What can we read, young lion? You on the clock, come on.
Okay, going to the book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse 1, 2, 4, 5, 10, and 20. Verse 1 reads.
Well, hold that point. Before you read 20, read 29, then come back to verse 20. Read verse 29, then come back to verse 20. Let's find out some things on the way to find out some things. We're going to the 35th chapter of Exodus, look at verse 1, 2, 4, 5, 10, 29. Then we're going to come back to verse 20. You on the clock, come on.
Book of Exodus, chapter 35, 1 through 2, 4 through 5, verse 10, 29, 20. Verse 1 reads, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which Yahweh has commanded that you should do them. Verse 2. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a righteous day, a Sabbath of rest to Yahweh. Whosoever do work therein shall be put to death. Verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded, saying, from among you and offering unto Yahweh, whosoever is of a willing mind, let him or her bring it, an offering of Yahweh, gold, silver, and brass. Verse 10. In every wise-minded among you shall come and make all that Yahweh has commanded. Verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yahweh. Every man and woman whose mind made them willing to bring for all manner of work which Yahweh had commanded to be done by the hand of Moses. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses.
Ain't that something? You see that? You see that it? All that murmuring, complaining, they understand when they step to the plate, when leadership tell you this is the way to go, they got on in there and got some business. Just like we're saying right now, time to put down our own beans. It's time to clean out the land and put our own stuff down. Now's the time. Land, school, banquet hall. If you know you're a member of the children of Israel, you're supposed to get on the doing side of the children of Israel. You got to come away from being a mother dear of Israel, Ecclesiastes 12:3. Regular book of 12, verse 3, you got to come away from being a 12, verse 3. Now is the time. The leadership is telling you. It's time now to roll your sleeves up, put some time in, get that, what they call the hole, the rake, throw them bricks out the way, put some beans down, put some greens down. Now is the time. Huh? See? Mm-hmm. Now is the time. What can we read in 12, verse 3, that mother dear of Israel? It's time now to not be a 12, verse 3 of the regular book of Ecclesiastes. What does it say?
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the gatherers and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened.
He said you got to come away from looking out the window because all you're going to run into is Satan the devil. It's time to roll your sleeves up and get busy. Give me my second Ezra, second Enoch 45, 1, 2, and 3, Mother Dear of Israel. What can I read out of second Enoch 45, 1 down to verse 3?
Second Enoch chapter 45, verses 1 to 3, verse 1. Whosoever hurries to make offering before Yahweh's face, Yahweh will hasten that offering by giving to his work. Verse 2. But whosoever increase his lamp before Yahweh's face and maketh a judgment that is not true, Yahweh will not increase his treasures in the realm of the highest. Verse 3. When Yahweh demand bread or candle or the flesh of beast or any other sacrifice, it is nothing. But Yahweh demands pure mind, and with all he does, it is only the test of man's mind.
Ain't that something? He said, I don't care about that old stuff you talking about them, you know. He said, look here, what I want you to do is roll your sleeves up and hasten to get in where you fit in at, donate to the ministry, pay your tithes, free will off in donation, get it to the right place and get your land, school, and banquet all going, and then I will enjoy myself in you. We're looking at WCC. So you said WCC, but suppose you're in captivity. Well, if you're in captivity, Mother Death Israel, go to Baruch chapter 1, 9, and 10 in the closing statement and tell them what they say. Let's see if you're in captivity, what you do in captivity. Good point there, WCC. Let's go to Baruch chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. See, let me tell you something. We prepared to do what we got to do and tell you what time. Go to Baruch chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, the closing statement of Mother Dear of Israel. What can we read?
Okay. Baruch chapter what?
Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, and a closing statement. What can we read?
Okay. Baruch chapter 1, verses 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got it right. Okay, verse 9. After that, King of Babylon had carried away, he said that word, Jay, and the prince and the captive and the mighty men and the people of the land from Jerusalem and brought them unto Babylon, verse 10. And they said, behold, we have sent you money to buy you burnt offerings and sin offerings and incense and prepare you manna and offer upon the altar of Yahweh, our Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. They, even in captivity, they understood that and they still got together and send that money to keep things going. So those over 400,000 plus on the international side understand one thing. Land, school, and banquet hall. If you know you're children of Israel, you get in where you fit in at. Land, mm-hmm. school, banquet hall. Time to get busy. Huh? Time to get busy. That's what it's saying. It's up to you. You in Babylon now again. But it's time now to roll your sleeves up in Babylon and land, school, and banquet hall. Mother Dear of Israel, Asian on your part. You stood like a lioness on the network. You want a closing statement, come on.
Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Verse 8. Will a man rob Yahweh? Yea, you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my temple. And prove me now where herewith, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Yahweh of hosts. Verse 12. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says Yahweh of hosts. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Brother D.F. Israel, you would call like a lioness on the broadcast take number 104. If you said you get up there, I'd drop it on them. See, I'd drop it on them, see, I'd drop it on them. And that's the bottom line. That's what you're talking about. Because the young lion, Yahweh did not give us a 2 Timothy 1:7-9. What can we read that young lion? 2 Timothy 1:7-9. What can we read?
Okay, going to the book of 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, picking up verses 7-9. Book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7-9. Verse 7 reads, for Yahweh has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, be not you therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Yahweh, nor of me, his prisoner, but be you partaker of the affliction of the covenant, according to the power of Yahweh. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a righteous call, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Yahweh the Son before the world was.
He said he had already made a calling on you before you was even before the world was. So you say you're not there now, so all we try to do is stir you back up. Stir your spirit back up. That's all we try to do. We try to go back to the first chapter now and find out what we try to do. We try to do something in 1 Timothy 1:7. Read verse 3 and get warmed up. Is all we trying to do is something, you know, our job, remember Matthias, you see what Matthias did? He said, look here, I watch my son. I know who's going to do what. That's what he say. I already know who's going to do what. So I'm going to tell you what time it is. He said, now, in the second book, what it says in 1 verse 3, 2 Timothy 1 verse 3.
Okay. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 verse 3. Verse 3 reads, I thank Yahweh, whom I serve for my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers, night and day.
Mm-hmm. Get down to verse 6 down to verse 8.
You say 6 down to verse 8?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 8. Verse 6 reads, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of Yahweh, which is in you by the putting on of my hand. Verse 7, for Yahweh hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8, be not you therefore ashamed of the covenant of Yahweh, nor of me, his prisoner, But be you partaker of the affliction of the covenant according to the power of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Sirach chapter 50, verse 27 down to verse 29. Sirach 50, 27 down to verse 29.
Okay, the book of Sirach, chapter 50, verse 27 down to 29. 27 reads, Hoshea, the son of Sirach of Jerusalem, have written in his book the instructions of understanding and knowledge, who out of his mind poured forth wisdom. 27. Blessed is he that shall be exercised in these things, and he that layeth them up in his mind shall become wise. Verse 29. For if he do them, he shall be strong to all things. For the light of Yahuwah leadeth him. The light of Yahuwah leadeth him, who giveth wisdom to the Yahuwah. Blessed be Yahuwah forever. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, 1 through 5, in the closing statement. So you see right here, it's laid out. See, if you want to know what to do today, look back into the manuscript and see what you did. The seal of responsibility is to get the manuscript, find out what is done, pass it on to the elders, and let's get busy. It's time to lay your own beams down. The yard is down. All we need, the labels, is to step up. The harvest is plenty, but the labels is fruit. Get in where you fit in at, donate to the ministry, and let's get the land, school, and banquet hall going and stop looking behind the curtain and not getting in where you fit in if you know you are a children of the family of Israel. If you know that, let's get busy. Start next week. What you reading?
We reading the book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 reads, then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him, and made no account of his labor. Verse 2, when they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his heaviness, of his salvation, so far beyond all that they look for. Verse 3, and they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometimes in derision and a proverb of reproach. Before we fools accounted his life madness and his end to be without honor. How is he numbered among the children of Yahuwah, and his lot is among the saints?
You know, they figure out, how did they figure this thing out? The bosses of the children of Yahuwah, I'll figure this thing out, and they pass it all over the world, that they are the children of Israel, and they come together up under that banner. Yahuwah. Young lion, you should sound like a lion again. Closing statement, you're on the clock. Catch you tomorrow at 6 p.m. It's all yours and come out.
Thank Yahuwah for another blessed day to read his word. Thank Yahuwah for allowing me to meet the spirit of life and for him to teach me his word. I thank Yahuwah for my wife, the children that have given me for help. I thank Yahuwah for the elders, the mother, brothers and sisters at BOTTY and all the six anointed camp, and thank Yahuwah for the teaching. I'm going to read to you the book of Wisdom of Solomon, picking up at verse 6, chapter 6, verse 18. Verse 18 reads, and love is the keeping of her Torah instruction, and the giving heed unto her Torah instruction is the insurance of incorruption. Verse 25, receive therefore instruction through my word, and it shall do you good. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Excellent. That's the young lion, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1, and remember one thing, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. You know you're children of Israel. We got to get busy. We got to get the land, school, and banquet hall, because the world is making their move. They say you don't figure out, you don't figure out what we own. Now you're putting that book on us. You clearly, you the children of Israel, and we are the bastards that was talked about in the book of Zechariah. So the gloves is off now, Sierra. It's up to you to respond, man, please. Let's get the last school in Banquet Hall on the move starting next week when we get out in the garden and start getting things prepared. And let's donate all over the world for last school in Banquet Hall. Huh? From the lioness, Mother D.F. Israel, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother E, Mother Z, Mother D.F. Israel. We only can do our part. We can show you the way. It's up to you to, when you hear us, bring it to you. Just take heed to it and do it. So we don't put the time in, and we know what the book is saying to help you. To understand one thing, we are the children of Israel, the peoples of the book, the congregation of Yahuwah. And we must tell our young